Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to get together once more. The weather's a bit different this week, but we can still worship God together, so that's wonderful. We're going to start with a prayer to help us along and thank God. Dear Lord God, we just thank you that we can meet together this morning. Lord, we pray that your presence can be with us in a real way this morning, so that we can know you speaking to us, we can know you as we worship you with our songs and our thoughts. And Lord, we can just be a blessing to one another. So Lord, be amongst us, we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd just like to start with Psalm 1, a few verses from the beginning of Psalm 1. And it goes like this. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. And so it's a wonderful psalm, and it's saying about the joys of those who don't follow the advice of the wicked. There's three things there which you don't do, or stand around with sinners, or join in with the mockers. And it's so easy to do those things, especially to join in with the mockers. You know, everybody else is saying, oh, is this rubbish, is this rubbish? And, you know, but there's joy when we don't join in with those three groups of individuals. But the opposite to that is their delight is in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. And that's what we've been doing these last 6 months. We've gone right through the Bible in a kind of a hop, skip and jump kind of way. But we've gone through and we've seen the message there. And I'm sure we've delighted in God's law, the law there we can refer to as the Bible, God's word to us. And there's a result of that. They are like trees along the riverbank, bearing fruit for each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? When we get into God's word, we prosper because we see such a bigger picture of life than just what's in front of our eyes. So it's a wonderful psalm to read and to do us good, to help us in our lives. Good. Well done. So maybe I could read these out right now. So Isla is saying, I enjoyed the story about the gang and how everybody can be saved. So that was the Nicky Cruz one, yeah? Is that right? Yeah. So even, you know, God saves people like Nicky Cruz who've done some dreadful, dreadful stuff. Aston says, my favourite Bible story is Genesis. It shows how perfect it was at the beginning. I like the gang story too, as it shows no matter who you are and what you have done, God can always forgive. And Logan says, I am enjoying learning different things from the Bible in church every week. So well done, Logan. I'm pleased to hear it. So, thank you very much for those contributions. And as always, if you want to interrupt me, just do so, and we'll see what happens.
I'm sorry, I lost my piece of paper.
Mum diligently did it last Sunday afternoon. She wrote stuff down, but sadly she's lost the paper. I thought that only happened when Dad was around, but evidently not. There we go. Right, so memory verses. Yes, this is one from Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Anybody got some guesses here? Well done, excellent. Should we all say it together? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Yeah, some very sound advice there. And this is our last month's. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. So that's good, isn't it? Should we just say it all together once more? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Okay, and now we come to June's verse. Should we say this then? Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart, as if working for the Lord and not for men. Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart, and not for men. Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart, and not for men. Colossians 3, verse 23. Excellent. Can anybody do this on their own? Go on, Anila. Excellent. Somebody else go for it? Is that hand you? No. No, no brave people out here. Only Isla. You're the bravest person here, Isla. Well done. I'll give you a medal. Okay, let's all say it together. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart, as if working for the Lord and not for men. Colossians 3, verse 23. So that's great. So, you know that life is tough quite often, isn't it? You know, there's decisions to make, there's mistakes to put right, but you know, we gotta kind of keep going. But why do we keep going? Well, I think the Bible gives us some good answers there. God has shown us his ways in the Bible. So I'd like us now to have our readings, starting with Logan, Natasha and Isla, please, and that will help us to just focus on God a little bit there. Readings are 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18, start with. 2 Corinthians 4.
We don't give up. Our bodies are becoming weaker and weaker, but our spirits are being rewinded. Day by day. Our troubles are small, they last only for a short time, but they are earning for us a glory that will be last forever. It is greater than all our troubles, so we don't spend all our time looking at what we can see. Instead, we look at what we can't see. That's because what can't be seen lasts only a short time. But what can't be seen will last forever.
Yeah, this reading is a bit like this, with these kind of opposites going through it. It's a little bit tricky, but well done. Chapter 5 now.
We know that the earthly tent we live in will be destroyed, but we have a building made by God. It is a house in heaven that lasts forever. Human hands did not build it. During our time on earth, we groan. We long to put our house in heaven as if we were clothing. Then we will not be naked. While we live in this tent of ours, we groan under our heavy load. We don't want to be naked. Instead, we want to be filled, dressed with our house in heaven. What must die will be swallowed up by life. God has formed us for that very purpose. He has given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment. The Spirit makes us sure of what is still to come.
I don't think I need this tool.
So we are always confident, even though we
So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord, for we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So wherever these are here, this body or away from this body, our goal is to please Him, for we must all stand before Christ to judge. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body.
Okay, so it was really just the first line, pretty much, that I want to focus on just briefly, and then we're going to go through a bit of a summary of the whole Bible, if that is at all possible, that is. But it's just there saying, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. You know, now, this is kind of an adult theme rather than the children. Children are growing and getting stronger, but us adults have come through that stage, you know, and we just feel tired so often, don't we? And we know that our bodies are literally dying. But our spirits are being renewed day by day. And as, even as children, our spirits can also be renewed day by day. And so that is a wonderful truth, which I would just want us to hold on to. You know, God is renewing our spirits as we look to Him for life and everything we need. So, as I said, we did a bit of a hop, skip and jump through the Bible, and we started there in Genesis back in January. Seems ages ago now. But there we saw the creative energy of God just coming into life, as it were. And you see the beauty and the genius of the world, you know, how it all works together, and how a certain insect will pollinate a certain plant, and that plant will then grow in a certain environment, and it's just all relying on each other, and it's just amazing. And we see animals being born, maybe chicks being hatched out of an egg, and we can't come to begin to understand the intelligence which has to go into those things to make them happen. And so we take a deep breath and we say, wow, God is good, God is big, God is amazing. And speaking for myself, you know, I need to take more of those moments in life when I stand back and I say, wow, God is good, God is amazing. And last Thursday we were talking about Abraham, and God took him out to look at the sky and all the stars. And we need those moments when God just look at the stars and see how amazing they are. And Abraham seemed to be doubting before that moment, but he looked up and he didn't doubt after that. He believed God, and that was a totally amazing time. And we can do that when we stop and take a moment and say, wow, God, you're amazing. And King David did that, really, I think. And in Psalm 8, I'm sure lots of you know this one, and just like to remind you of this one, and it goes like this: O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, and all that you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And so King David, he had this wow moment, and I sat down and wrote it down for us. We can read all these 3,000 years later, maybe. And so we just see this amazing creation that God has made. And then we realize that we can be called children of God. We're made in His image. We're made to have a relationship with God. And our identity should be that God is our Father first and foremost. And what other identities we pick up can come after that one. But God being our Father is the most important thing to us. And you know, it all started so well, but rebellion came in and trouble started and sin took its toll. Pain, disease and death came and creation was corrupted. Lydia gave me her thoughts for me to read out, so I'll just do that now. The big picture of the Bible. The theme of hope runs all the way through it. It's easy to think of hope as a New Testament revelation theme, but it all starts right from the beginning. The origins of hope. Genesis 3:15. He will crush... I'll read it off the screen. I will make you and a woman hate each other. Your children and her children will be enemies. Her son will crush your head and you will bite his heel. And so it's a strange sort of way of hope coming in, but there was trouble, but there is hope being suggested there. And so Lydia says, right from the fall of creation, right from the fall, all of creation is waiting for redemption. The hope of something more to come. Through the Bible, God reveals himself and his redemption plan bit by bit. There is more to life than what we see. We have an inheritance that will never spoil, rust, decay, or grow old, and is kept safe for us by God. So that let us live, put in our hope in God. So thank you very much, Lydia. Yeah, I've got her on the list, so don't worry. And so we have this promise that the snake crusher is coming right from the beginning, and it won't be bad forever. And we need to hold on to that promise. And so then we went into Exodus, where we thought about freedom. And the people of Israel, remember, were slaves in Egypt. Our map down there where Jill sits is kind of Egypt. They were down there being enslaved and having to work hard, and it was not a nice place to be, not a nice time to be living in. But for us, we live in a free society, they say. But are we really free? You know, we're often caught in cycles of depression, disease and death, living in a rat race maybe, where we feel we have to go on and press on and press on. And our freedom may mean somebody else's entrapment. You know, the clothes we wear may have been sewn up by a child earning next to nothing in a country far away. Or we might be using our iPhone non-stop, which requires, you know, certain minerals and certain other non-ethical type of input. And yet we say we're free. So what is true freedom, and can we have it? Can we really be free? Well, Jesus said in John 36, he said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so we need to be looking at Jesus. We need to be restored back to the Garden of Eden before the fall. And we know that there's only one way back to God, and that is relationship with Jesus. And so we need to recognize the problem that we have right here and now, where we are, where we've gone wrong. Excuse me. Okay, so then we moved into exile, our search for peace. And there's a nice little book I got, a nice little bit I got out of the book there, and saying that, you know, we could marry Prince Charming, we could have beautiful kids, and we could live in a castle, but that life still falls short, and we'd be still searching for peace. You know, it may seem like we have everything in life, but we're missing this peace because we have this... This we've been exiled from God by our sin. And we saw the cycle of judges there. They made the mistakes time and time again, the same mistakes. They forgot about God, and then a judge, God, they the trouble would come, and they would say sorry to God, And God would send them a judge to help them, and the judge helped them and brought them back to God and said, look, we need to be following God, and then life would be good for a while, and peace would be in the land, and then that judge would die and they would forget about God once more. And they had this cycle going for over 400 years. And it could well be that we can see that in our heads sometimes. We can identify with those ancient people with negative cycles which can take us down in downward spirals. And some parts of that could be that there are giants out there which we need to be slain. And we remember David and Goliath, and how young, small David was able to fight Goliath with God's help. And it was only with God's help that he did that. And just before that happened, we see God telling Samuel how he judges people. And it was saying, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so we see this very different perspective that God has than what we tend to have. And we say, well, if only we were wise, if only we were wise. And along comes Solomon, and Solomon recognized that he was lacking in wisdom. He was going to be king, and he was a young man. And he said, how can I be king? I don't know a lot. God, please give me wisdom. And so God gave Solomon wisdom. And that was great for a while. And things went well when Solomon followed God's wisdom. But Solomon didn't always follow God's wisdom, did he? And he was good to start, but then he went downhill. And thinking about this wisdom, it's a bit like Tony Blair said, you know, what's the most important thing? He said, education, education, education. You know, if only we had education, if only we had wisdom, we would be all right. But it seems like we need a bit more than that education and wisdom to get us through life. And so we saw Solomon, said to be the wisest man, go badly wrong. And we all know why that was. Lois, you've got some for us to talk about exile here. So thank you.
It's been quite reassuring to go through the Bible and hear all these things that have gone wrong, where people have gone wrong with their lives. And it seems now that we've got a different technology in our lifetime and a different environment, but that human nature of people just has stayed the same. We keep drifting from God. We keep coming back. God is constant. His love is there constantly for us. And this gives me so much peace, because in my life there have been times of drifting away and having to come back, because God has chosen me. Or God has given us a gift of his Son, and for dying on the cross and rising again, he can forgive our sins. I've accepted that I wanted that for my life. But even then, just because I've said that I want to follow God, I still find myself drifting and coming back and drifting and coming back. And God said in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for you to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on further. And he says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I pray today that all of us will come back and seek God with all our heart, because when we do, we will experience his peace, his joy, his guidance, and find our purpose for our lives.
Thank you, Lois. And so we're not in the Garden of Eden with God. We are separated from him. We're exiled by our sin. And but we hear the prophets telling of a new time coming, a new time. Isaiah was very much on this wavelength, and he said in chapter 9, he said, nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. And then jump to verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, a government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. And so it's not just a maybe or if we work hard enough at it, but this is saying a passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. We can rest assured with Isaiah's prophecy that the Prince of Peace is coming. Jesus is coming. And so then we leap into the New Testament and our human need for love and acceptance. Do you know, and we often sit back and sigh, oh, if only I had the perfect wife, the perfect husband, the perfect children, the perfect parents, the perfect neighbours, the perfect employers or the perfect employees. You know, we could be such a better person, couldn't we? And yet, here in the beginning of the New Testament, we see the perfect man, Jesus. And so we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with him? Are we going to be like those religious Jewish leaders and crucify him and say, we can't cope with your radical ideas, Jesus? Or are we going to serve him? Jesus was willing to take our death penalty on himself to save us from it. Will we believe in our hearts that he did it? Jesus demonstrated to us how to live. He didn't write a book about how we should be living. Jesus demonstrated with his life how we should be loving our neighbour, how we should love our enemy as ourselves. And I just want to read a little bit out of this book about Jesus demonstrating these things. And again, Jesus didn't write a book for us to study and to learn. He did it himself. And this passage is coming from when Jesus is on the cross of Calvary. And it goes like this. And he says, finally, Jesus asked for a drink. Wine vinegar was lifted to him on a hyssop branch. Here is the ultimate Passover lamb, sacrificed to open up a new way of Exodus freedom for all humanity. Jesus therefore saved his final breath for a cry of victory in the midst of apparent defeat. It is finished. Notice he didn't say, I'm finished, but it is finished. And it being the curses that ruin creation, the pharaohs that dominate our world, the sins that enslave our hearts, the exile which shuts us out, it is all finished. The cross was the ultimate act of self-substitution. Jesus willingly stepped into our predicament and took our dark terrors, sin, judgment, and hell. The Son of God got nailed for us, but precisely because of this, the cross is a great exchange. Because Jesus got what we deserve, we can have what he deserves. He was forsaken so that we can be forgiven. He was cursed so that we can be blessed. He was shut out so that we can come home. If we want to know how God feels about us, we need look no further than the cross to see the perfect love that forgives sins, heals wounds, and restores peace. But it's amazing that Jesus didn't stay dead after he did that on the cross for us. We remember on Easter Sunday morning, we had the resurrection and death was defeated. We saw that there in the resurrection. And so we move on into this next section was called the Spirit. And we saw how the Spirit builds community. And that was where we can join this story. You know, all the Old Testament and the beginning of the New was all about what has happened. It's kind of a history, what's gone on. But we learn from how God operates and what God's about. But now we can join this story. We can be part of it in this community that the Spirit empowers. And that leads us to our next hymn, which is 279. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, he claimed me for his own. And so there's lots of things, if you're like me, you feel you don't know, but there are a few things that we can know and we can praise God for. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that what I've committed unto him against that day. He is able to fulfill his promises to us. 279. So, we remember the Spirit gives us this community, it builds community, and we can be part of the story. The Holy Spirit will live in us when we invite Jesus into our hearts to take over. And we see this dramatic effect on the man called Saul. Saul was there, and he was a keen Jewish guy, and he was going around persecuting all the people who had become Christians. And all of a sudden, God stops him on the Damascus Road. A bright light, Saul is on the ground, and he becomes a Christian. Jesus says to him, "Why do you persecute me?" And Saul changes his life around, or God changes his life, and he becomes Paul. And Paul writes a very big chunk of the New Testament. And so it's amazing to see the power of the gospel bringing change, the power of the good news bringing change. Which leads us on to our last one of hope, our hope and longing for home. Hope rooted in history because of the resurrection, because that resurrection is historic. It happened 2,000 years ago. That gives us hope. But we do know that Judgment Day is coming, and let's make sure we're on the right side of it. New heavens and new earth are being prepared, and then we'll be living with God and God with us. There will be no need of the sun, because Jesus will be given the light from himself. The Garden of Eden will be restored. There will be no sin, no pain, and no death. And that is just amazing. And I've tried to sum up the Bible, and every time I do a walk through the Bible, as you know, and I get to the end of the Old Testament, I have to sum it up for the children, and I'm in fear and dread every time I do that, because I'm really not capable. But I trust that God gives me a little bit of something to try and impart that. But you know, there's a memory verse that we've had, and it starts saying, "All Scripture." Anybody remember this one? All Scripture. Yeah, wonderful. And so, shall we just say this together? All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. 2 Timothy 3:16. And so that's where I want to leave this for this morning. You know, I've just dragged a couple verses out of the Bible. That's probably not the best word to use, drag. I showed a few verses from the Bible, but all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. You know, it's not just there to encourage us, it's there to challenge us as well. And so, Aston, can you come and give us our last reading, which includes that verse and the one after it as well, I believe. So 2 Timothy 3:12-17.
Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worst, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which you are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and for reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work.
Thank you, Aston. Excuse me. Thank you, Aston. The Bible is a very big book, but it really is essential for life. And we do well when we get in there and read it. And sometimes that's really hard going. We think, I don't know what it's on about. I don't see the point of it. But we need to keep going. We need to read it. We need to let it challenge us. We need to listen and take note of those challenges when they come. But also worship God when we see those wonderful passages like Psalm 8 too. So I thought this would be a good time for us to have a time of prayer. You know, we've done this hop, skip and jump through the Bible, and we've seen things. Perhaps we've been encouraged. Perhaps we've been challenged. Perhaps we're not so sure about what we've been. But we can still pray. We can thank God for it. We can pray for other stuff. We can thank God that Rachel's got a new job for September. That's a really good reassurance. You know, something's in the future. And for the rest of us, we can look to the coming week. We can thank God for the past week. And family issues, we can pray. And government issues, there's plenty of those to pray about. So let's have this time of prayer, and I'll finish that time off, and then we'll have a testimony and our final song. So let's pray. So Lord, we just want to thank you for each other, how we can gather together and just be a blessing to one another. And it's just such a privilege, Lord, so we thank you for that. And now, Lord, as we come towards the end of our service, Lord, we just thank you that you have been with us. You are helping us. You are opening our minds to your word, your ways, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we thank you. And so, Lord, we lift our government to you, Lord. They're a funny old bunch, Lord, but we just pray that you would have your hand upon them and bring some good there. Give them some wisdom, Lord. And the negative things, Lord, we just pray that they would be downplayed and not lifted high, Lord, and sorted out. But Lord, we just pray for righteousness to come across our nation, for people not to only want other people to be righteous, but for themselves too. So be with each one of us, Lord, and help us, we pray. And I just pray a blessing upon us all now. Amen. Okay, so we got one more contribution, which we're really looking forward to. So thank you very much.
And personal relationships with God. The key things in Jeff's sermons for me were hope and love, hope in salvation, hope in the future, hope for each and every one of us. We're all different, and we've all got different backgrounds and different stories, but we all have the same hope, the same love, and the same God. For me, the past few weeks, the wonderful stories and the journey Jeff has taken us on all lead to testimonies of people's personal experiences with God. So I'm going to read mine. My life, my testimony, where do I start? I've written, rewritten, tried, tested, smiled, cried, given up, and then started again whilst writing this testimony. It's the single hardest thing I've ever written, but by far the most rewarding. Looking back at the moments in my life that have brought me to this point are emotional. Accepting God as my saviour and seeing things clearly for the first time in my life is no small feat. I've had an incredible life, but when I stop and look back at how God fits into it all, that's when my life really began. And for me, that was on the 4th of January, 2017. I had this poem read to me once when I was little. I didn't know what it meant at the time, but it had an impact on me because I've remembered it ever since. One night, I had a dream. I dreamt I was walking along a beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me, and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the sand and noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. We also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in my life. It really bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, that you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there were only one set of footprints. I don't understand why at times when I needed you most, you should leave me. And the Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never, ever leave you during the times of trial and suffering. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. As a child, this poem was one of my favourites, but as an adult, it took a whole new meaning. As a child, the magic and wonder of God was simple. I always enjoyed church and hearing the stories, but God was never a massive part of my day-to-day life. My Sundays were always spent worshipping God, but that's why my time with him ended. Applying him to my everyday wasn't something I ever did as a family. So over time, as I grew up, my life became more and more distant to God, and he became a distant memory. I always found myself talking to God in times of trouble and praying to him when I needed help, but never really accepting who he was. I found that as my life went on, harder times followed and I became angry and talked to God less and less. By the time I came out of my teens, any thoughts I had regarding faith had well and truly disappeared. I'd forgotten all that I had learned, and that was left with a bitter shell that found me angry for God and all the things I'd been through. I'd lost my way, and I didn't find my way back. Life went on. The things in the middle and the reasons behind it all are not important. Everyone's trials and subject to suffering in some way. Telling me the horror stories that have taken place in my life won't change the fact that it doesn't matter what's happened. All that matters is the connection to your story. You're understanding that it does happen, that some people do lose their way, and there is still rainbow at the end of every story, and that God will find a way back into your heart if you have a little faith and trust. My story starts in August 2017. I made a new friend. She was a refreshing change from the other people in my life. I didn't quite figure it out, but there was something special and different about my friendship with her. I didn't realise it at first. Like most things, you don't see the bigger picture until much later on in life. I started to attend church with her and her family. Went on my own at first, a little apprehensive and unsure of how I felt. And after a while, I took my children with me, nervous of what they would think, how they would behave, and if they would understand. But they loved it, and have been attending with me ever since. I started asking lots of questions and could tell something was different in me, why I was struggling with everything, all the emotions and feelings I had. Could I ever accept God? Could I trust him after everything? I found myself turning to Christian friends for lots of help. I asked so many questions. I needed help to find a way through. I found myself dealing with a whole new set of emotions I didn't know I had. I started doing daily devotions and reading books to learn as much as I could. I wanted to understand and was determined. My Christian friend reminded me, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who receives, the one who seeks, the one who knocks, the door will be opened. She is usually right. She had bought me my very own pink Bible. It was the best gift I had ever been given. Did I mention it was pink? I was desperate to read it. After praying to God and feeling his word to me, I found myself enjoying reading the Bible. So much wisdom was opened up to me through it. Most importantly, the story of Jesus Christ, how willingly he died on the cross for my sins. Shortly after I'd been given my Bible, my children were given theirs in the chapel. They were so happy to feel like a part of the family at church. We started to read them at night before bed. They were curious and full of questions. I wasn't confident in answering the kids' questions yet, so they went heavily on my family. On the family, we had become part of the church to fill that void for me. I'm so thankful to the church and my new friends for the help and support they have given and continue to give me and my family. Never underestimate the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can change a person's life for better or for worse. God puts us into each other's lives to impact one another in some way. We look for God in others. My story finally came to life, my life. All those single footprints, all those broken memories, all those lonely dreams and angry flashbacks, I wasn't alone anymore. I was being carried, just like in my coma. On January 4th, 2018, I finally accepted God as my saviour. I shut the door on my past and my heart began to beat again. I'd been praying for days for a friend of mine who was in desperate need of help. His wife had recently died of cancer and he wasn't coping. He was upset because he'd lost her wedding ring. My husband and I had searched for days to find it with no success. And then one day, when all was lost against all odds, her ring disappeared in the most unlikely of places. My prayers had been answered, and he could finally put the matter of the lost ring to rest and move on with his life. That moment, that one moment of clarity changed everything for me. My prayer was so direct and so heartfelt that when it was answered, there was no doubt in my mind that it was God talking to me. Many will think I just imagined it. That is understandable. I'm not out to try to prove anything to anyone. God knows the truth and knows the truth, and that's all that matters. I believe God knew I needed him to answer my prayer, otherwise my relationship with him would have continued to be on shaky ground. So I had to explain, but I just had a knowing it wasn't me, it wasn't my own thoughts, but the voice of God talking to me. Life isn't about me anymore, it's about God and what he wants me to accomplish for his glory. Things won't always turn out the way I expect them to, but God is not indifferent to my desires. He loves me, he cares for me and my plan. His plans are perfect. Make the decision to trust in him and proclaim his power over anything else in the world. Don't overcomplicate things when you search for answers. The creation of the world, the meaning of life and your destiny is much simpler than you think. All the answers are in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and life. It may have taken me a while, and may have been a long road to accepting God as my saviour, but every one of those footprints in the sand is a memory, a journey, and a moment I'm thankful for. Don't give up on those who have lost their way. they may just need to be reminded they're being carried too.
Thank you very much. It's great, isn't it? So just a plug for our testimony book. You know, it's back there waiting to be read, waiting to be added to. Write your testimony down and put it in there. And it can encourage and bless other people. So I'm fairly sure that Indy likes this hymn. And it's number 748. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Thank you. Just dear Lord God, we just thank you so much that you have given us your word, which tells us how we can receive you into our hearts. And Lord, we just thank you that you are just very keen to be our Father and our God and our King. And you love it when we open our hearts to you. So Lord, let our hearts be open this coming week to follow you, to just to love our neighbours, to love our enemies even, and to just be with you, Lord, wherever you lead us. Thank you that you are with us. You are us when we believe in you, Lord. You live in us, and therefore you are there whenever we need you. So we thank you for that, Lord. So I just pray a blessing upon each one here, Lord, that you would touch our hearts and give us joy, Lord, through this coming days, and bless us, we pray. Bless our homes and everybody in them. We ask this now, Lord, in your name. Amen.